You found yourself back at the start.
How's it going, everybody out there on the interwebs? How are you doing today? I hope your day is going wonderfully. Now, you may wonder why we're here. There's a show out there on Twitch called Codelock 1991. Alright, it's being done on Hyper RPG's Twitch channel, and right now I can say it's probably the best show on Twitch. So great. There's a lot of things that we can do to interact with the show, and honestly, you have to be watching it. Right now, Season 2 is actually getting ready to premiere in just a few days. This Monday, 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. But before we do that, how about we take a step back and talk about why we love this show? Talk about what kept us watching week in, week out. This will give you a chance to see the fans' point of view, what we think, how we think. Because guess what? Once Season 2 revs up, it's going to get crazy. We're going to dive deep into the lore. We're going to dive deep into the episodes. But for now, for just this first episode, let's take a deep breath and just sit around the campfire and talk about the world of Codelock. Alright? So, at the end of the day, this podcast, Codelock 1991, related, recalled, we're back at the start. And I am Kidanon, known on Twitch, Twitter, all same to the Hyper family, the Thumper family, and hopefully you guys are interested and become a part of that team. But I'm not the only one here. We have plenty of people, wonderful people here to also put out their input on the show. And how about we give them a chance to talk? So guys, what do you guys think?
Hello, my name is Aridin, or Aridin SC, or Aridinsk, depending on who you ask in the Hyper community and generally online.
Oh, it's this Gaia CA, CA being for Canada and not for California. I can go by Gaia or Gaia, either one is fine.
Hello, I'm Logan, known as Logan Pars most everywhere.
All right, there's a crew for today. So we're going to be talking about a few things. We're going to dive deep-ish into the RP world, into the world of RPGs. Codelock 1991 is doing something special. There's actually a NPC world created by chat members. People watching the show create their own characters. But before we talk about that, let's also realize the audio-visual effects is amazing. They take it next level. And then lastly, we have the world building, the story. And, oh man, again, I can probably go off for days and hours. And I can tell you, everybody else here probably can do the same. So without further ado, let's start off with the first one, the NPC, the world of Codelock, the city. Aridin, there you go. It is your turn to just lead us into the world of Codelock 1991.
Thank you, Kidanon. Yeah, one of the things I think that makes Codelock kind of special amongst RPG shows, and I mean, there are a lot of amazing ones, but I think one of the things that really makes Codelock special is not only can you interact kind of through the chat and through kind of donations and whatnot, they also have set up in Hyper's Discord, a whole section for the viewers to be able to become town members of the town of Codelock. We have, at this point, I think, almost 200 people that have kind of signed up to be these different NPCs that kind of form almost this backdrop of the story, so that when Zach is creating his story and he suddenly needs an NPC, he can just go to this list and go, okay, I need a lawyer. Who's playing a lawyer? Oh, this person is. And they'll use that character and bring them into the story. And so not only can you kind of have fun with the community and kind of build your own kind of character in the world, you have the chance for your character to get brought into the show itself. So I know the character I created, for example, showed up in a couple episodes, which is really cool. And we've even seen that some of these chat created NPCs have taken on new life and become kind of very almost instrumental characters within the story. One of them even becoming a new main character for the second season. But enough from me. How about we see what some of our other podcasters have to say? Logan, what do you think about it?
I think it's amazing that it's caused a bunch of people to take the characters they've made and then they go off and have role play of their own. I think Kolak in general has inspired a lot of people to play the Kids in Bite system, but I've seen at least three different groups get together and role play out their characters and just generally have fun.
And yeah, for me, it's like my NPC, I haven't. And one of the great things about the NPC is you don't have to be completely active in the chat. You just, like, with your NPC. But just having one there that can potentially be put out there. I know activity is definitely great to help just immerse yourself in the world of Kolak. And I can honestly say, like, in my head, I have my chat. I may not be interacting in the chat because, hey, maybe my character, who is the head football coach, which, you know, doesn't exist apparently. but seriously. Where in my head, while watching the show, I can see this is what he's doing at this time. So if at any moment I feel like, all right, let me bring this up, I can bring this up. And that's the fun thing about RPing, that as a noob like myself, someone who's never really got into RPGing before, the chat room, the chat generated NPCs, it's almost like a gateway to RPGing. Like, you don't have to talk. You can just kind of, like, imagine what your character's like. And you can start practicing how to RPG. And maybe for somebody who hasn't done it before, they can hop in, RPG, have some fun. And then eventually maybe that leads to them actually doing it with a group of friends. And then they can even GM their own session. So that's the fun part of the NPC world, the town, and all the characters. And then when you see a character come from the chat NPC to actual being physically at the table, and seeing what some of the cast members are able to do with it, oh, it's crazy. It is crazy what they can do with NPCs. So that's the best part I like, is that for a newbie like myself, you can kind of jump into RPG and just like RPG 101.
As the mod who tracks the census for Zach, I have to say, I love what the role playing, how creative people have been with their backstories. Like, there's such a huge variety of people and characters that they've created. And it's absolutely fascinating. I mean, we've got everything, you know, from a guy who fishes and finds a boot to a guy that was created as a joke character who's now actually on the show. It's just totally fascinating to me how much variety and how much like a real town it is. People creating all sorts of different work for their characters, types of characters, ages of characters. It's really wonderful.
Thank you all. As I think we're going to now move on to our second point, and I think Logan is going to kind of take the lead for this and talk about more of the kind of visual effects and the sound and all the other kind of things that kind of almost make up another character in and of themselves. Logan?
Yeah, one of the things I love about Kolak is the amount of innovation in it being a live play or TTRPG, and yet they're able to accomplish so much. From the use of the snap camera to visual effects to just set design. And then all that's backed by the wonderful music by Alex and Heat, which fits the theme of palindromes throughout the show. I think one of my favorite examples is the episode 5, the diner scene, where they used an actual booth for the scene. They had actual food and menus. And then they had the background ambient sounds and music, and you felt like you were actually there. And they have examples of this throughout the entire show.
Yeah, I agree. I love, you know, the different variety, like doing, like you said, simple things like the Snapchat filter to building a diner set to having what was basically a LARP in the council episode where they had almost 40 people involved.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Some of the stuff, it's unbelievable what they've been able to pull off, to the point that they actually created a show called This Will Be Deleted, just so that Zach could kind of give us a little bit of a peek. Like at one of them, they had one of the cast members disappear, and for the rest of the episode, they did all of theirs from inside a TV, and it looked like it was from that period. I mean, it was absolutely amazing, all the stuff and the time and the attention they put into this. It's just crazy.
I love This Would Be Deleted. I hate the fact that I can't watch it anymore as often as I did in the very beginning. And, you know, the visual effects is what gets me a lot, too. Like, that music by Alex, oh my, I cannot talk about the music enough. Like, listening to it, and then, like, it's like with any show, like, you have that typical, like, that typical score that when that's thrown in, you know, stuff is about to go down. And that's what Alex created. And the way he created music also goes with the theme of the show, where it's mirrors, you know? Kolar 1991 being a palindrome, you get the music to be the same. And there's some creepy effects. Don't you guys agree? Like, there are some creepy effects that Zach threw in there that I'm like, okay, this, what? No, I don't know how I feel about this. Like the three-eyed man with using the snap camera. That was definitely kind of creepy to me. I don't know what you guys think. Like, what do you guys think? Like, oh man, the creepiness of some of the visual effects.
Oh, I agree for sure. There's some really disconcerting stuff. And some of those little bits that he has pre-made to transition between different parts of the show really blew me away.
Yeah, the first time, I think the first time that, as we've come to dub him, Three Eyes showed up, that took us all back. And I mean, like you said, some of the just the pure visual effects are kind of so kind of trippy and strange, and yet fit in so well with Kolak.
And the other thing that's really great is I love that we have an official artist for the show, which is Monica M., because it makes it much more consistent, and she even does art for the guest characters for like a single episode, which is really wonderful.
Yeah, those are incredible. I mean, they're all consistent. They're all amazingly done. I'm really excited to see what she, I heard she's updating a number of the character designs for season two. So I'm really excited to see what she has prepared for that.
Oh yeah, I've seen the, update to Billy. That's amazing.
I'm actually curious about Tibby, because Zach mentioned himself, like, maybe Tibby's gonna have like a hot boy summer where he's gonna like be all nice and buff. So I'm like, do we have a image of Tibby yet, or is it just like people who have an actual like cast member joining?
Yeah, I don't think we have an official view of it yet.
If not, okay, I definitely think Tibby should like 100% have his own his own visual, because I'm curious. Like, we have the wonderful Zach GMing driving us, and like the picture that he's painted with Tibby and how he interacts with Billy, I'm curious what Tibby looks like at this point. And then I would love to see what he becomes. So that would be kind of cool to see. But yeah, the artwork is amazing. And not even... Monica does a great job. But let's also talk about the visual artwork on the screen. Like, some, you know, all the stuff that they have on the screen to show us, you know, just... Oh man, I don't even know how to say it. The
overlays and everything?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. The overlays, where those looks awesome, easy to read and whatnot. And those... It's just fun. it's just fun. It feels like you're just in a small little town, like just the way it's set up. The background of the studio feels like it's just kind of a few friends hanging out. And that's what Kolok is all about. A few people just kind of just hanging out, learning the world of Kolok. And the imagery there is fantastic. And then season 2 can only get better, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I'm really hyped for season 2.
Same here. And can't talk about the show without talking about the lore. So, Kendanon, why don't you talk about the lore of the show?
All right, so the lore. Oh, man. This is one, just only one part, guys. One part of a much greater world. A greater saga, to be exact. The Phobos saga. It started off with 10 Candles. And I haven't watched much of 10 Candles, but jumping into the Kolok 1991, you could do it no problem. And season 2 would probably be not one bit different. Zach does a great job making sure that each season, each part, each volume, you can jump into it not having seen the previous one. But it's going to be hard, because once you start watching it, you are not going to want to just stick to just the season that you're going in. You're going to jump back and watch season 2. And season 1, I mean, then you might want to jump back to Kids on Bike, which was a playtest that started off as just a one-shot. It became 9 episodes. That's how great this system is, the Kids on Bike system. Oh, and then before that, there was 10 Candles. Now, this world is set in a town. It's set in a town that, for the most part, has been pretty normal for most of the characters' lives. Nothing too crazy happened, but there was an incident. An incident that started it all. And we can go with, like, that one incident gave us a chance to learn so much more about the world of Kolok, America's heart, as it's been called in the show all the time. It's a fictional town in Washington, but nonetheless, it is America's heart, even though it's not really in the center of America. Okay, but besides that. Now, we got 10 Candles. I'm not too sure about what happened there, but I know we do have somewhat of an expert here who can maybe delve a little bit deeper into 10 Candles. And from 10 Candles, we can go then talk about Kids on Bike, which I still love because of the hilarity. So, what is 10 Candles? Can you explain that to us, please?
Well, 10 Candles was really fun and a bit of a ritualistic, almost, RPG. And it was basically broken into 10 separate stories, which then, well, I don't want to spoil anything, but then broke off into what later became Kolok. Even though they're not the same universes, they're sort of connected.
All right, yeah, and now you can tell, like, even someone who, like myself who haven't seen it, you can tell that there's elements of 10 Candles, and it's so much fun reading chat, and you see people be like, oh my gosh, he did the thing, he brought this. It's wonderful. And then we got Kids on Bike. Kids on Bike was just an introduction to the system that they will be using. And it was so much fun. So much fun. To just kind of watch everybody, like the system we use for rumors now in Kolok is a little bit different. But in Kids on Bike, we were able to actually generate our own rumors and evidences. And I personally had way too much fun with that. I got too in-depth with it. But it was essentially we find out later to be a alternate universe version of Kolok, if I'm not mistaken. And then a character in that story actually became the main character, one of the main characters, cast members, of Kolok 1991. And that was Billy Baker. I won't say what his name was in Kids on Bike in case you want to check it out. But we get Billy Baker, and then the world explodes. Maybe? I don't know. What do you guys like about the world building, and what is it about the world building and the story told by Zach that just interests you guys?
I think one of the things that I really enjoyed is the fact that with Kolak, we kind of started relatively small. I say that because I think it's more small in that we aren't aware of how much was really out there. And from there, the story and the world just kept growing and growing, expanding. And you get this sense of just this vast array, this vast almost multiverse, if you will. Once they hit a certain point, you get these little kind of nuggets and hints of different things and different elements and different places that are kind of tantalizing in kind of what they suggest as possibilities. But still, even going back to that town aspect, there's so much kind of buried in there that even going back to just the small town aspect, there's so much to discover, so many little kind of hints and mysteries and strange happenings that seem normal, but are they really?
The other thing I love about the world building is that Zach has connected and interwoven so many different aspects. Like he can do something that you think is sort of a throwaway at the time, and then like three episodes later, something will come back that connects to that.
Yeah, I mean, for example, the NPC that Kid Anon mentioned before started off as just a joke that some of the players decided that they thought was funny, being teenagers, but then became an actual character. It got cast, then became a regular kind of guest member and kind of played a fairly important role in the story. So what originally can start as kind of this throwaway joke character, haha, this is funny, you later realize, no, this is a real character with real kind of feelings and opinions and becomes this kind of complex character. It's very interesting in different ways. You know, everything has a purpose.
Yeah, definitely. Everything definitely has a purpose. And what's fun with the world itself is I believe Zach just gave us a small, like, drop in the pan of what we have, like, what we know. We got it started off with 10 Candles, then the Kids on Bike playtest. And even within Kolak 1991, there's so much that we probably don't know. He's basically has, I don't know this for sure, he said he has this large, basically, notebook. I bet you this notebook is probably, like, at this point, 10 stories high with like every little detail that he could come up with. You know, he doesn't leave any stone unturned, and that's the fun part. Not a single stone is unturned. And it's not even just the story. Like, let's also talk about the cast. The cast play a massive part in how well the world is being able to develop. Because at the end of the day, this is an RPG. And some of the decisions that they make gives us the opportunity to actually find out things maybe faster. Or maybe not at all. That interests me, like, oh, I wonder if they did this. So, what do you guys think about the characters, like the cast members' involvement in terms of the world building?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I think Zach has this immense world. And I think one of the things that's almost even more impressive is the fact that he never knows exactly what's going to happen. A lot of this is all improvised. And given some of the cast members, like, I think both Lucas playing Billy Baker and Megan playing Sky are prime examples of this, where these characters can go off in different directions that neither us nor Zach, I think, had any idea was going to happen. And so he's now contending with characters that sometimes don't always perhaps investigate a lot of the threads that he may wish they picked up on, but he somehow manages to make it seem seamless and that this was always kind of what he had going planned from the very beginning.
Another thing I love is how they jump around with different feelings and different emotions. Like, they can go from goofing around silly teenagers to having these super deep emotional scenes. Like, I know Shubble has had quite a few of those as Mickey, dealing with her family and things. And it's been wonderful to see that change of pace.
Yeah, definitely. Logan, so what is your thoughts on, like, just what's your overall thoughts on the world building? Like, just the story, like, what do you think about it? Like, what do you love the most about it?
I love the way that he's taken the aspects of the previous shows and incorporated into this show. And I just also love the way that Zach is able to roll with the punches and just kind of incorporate the things that Chad has thrown at him or that the players have thrown at him. I mean, Mallory would not even be in the show. Zach didn't think anything about Mallory. Mallory was kind of a throwaway character, but then he found out how much people loved Mallory and Tin Candles, and he ended up in Kolok now. So, yeah, I just love the way that Zach just kind of rolls with things.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. So, here's a character that, you know, an NPC that was literally just a joke. Or not, I don't even want to say a joke. One of the cast members, Andre, Black Nerd, he came up to Zach. He was like, you know what? I would like a pet. Zach said, okay. He didn't tell him how he was going to get a pet or what kind of pet he was going to get. And guess what we ended up with, folks on the interwebs? We ended up with probably the single best character in Kolok 1991. Maybe. Possibly. but seriously, Sketchy is probably the chat favorite. The chat favorite. When he first came out, and honestly, the only reason why Sketchy was as popular as he is mostly due to the wonderful way Zach has portrayed that squirrel. Through the voice changer, and plus the attitude, we all fell in love with Sketchy.
Well, maybe not Billy Baker. Sketchy seems to have an issue with him.
Yeah, Billy definitely. It's funny. Everybody can hear Sketchy. It sounds like the entire town can hear Sketchy, except Billy Baker. And that's got to piss Billy Baker off so much. I wonder if we're going to have a thread thrown in there where Billy might try to do something to Sketchy.
You never know. I mean, I think Mickey ended up being rather reluctant that she could learn to hear him, given the rather memorable squirrel calls that appear in a couple episodes.
So, yeah, Sketchy is the funniest thing. Everybody, like I said, everybody loves Sketchy. Except Billy Baker. I'm curious what he would do to Sketchy. And not only that, like, the team actually has their own, like, Sketchy call. So, it was Andre who actually brought it up. It's hilarious. But let's also talk about one more element before we finish off. And that's the world within the world. In its essence, Kolok 1991 is a tabletop RPG created by Zach Eubank. But you know what we also got in terms of the RPG? We got Teens in Space. We got an RPG within the RPG. And by far, another great gem, GM by Billy Baker. Billy Baker created his own RPG. Yeah, that happened within the world. It was meta. It was so much fun listening to that. The last 3 weeks is basically kind of like a spinoff to kind of gap between seasons. Definitely check it out. How much is transferred from there? We don't know. Probably not much. But yeah, that was a fun thing to watch, was the RPG within an RPG.
Yeah, I think the thing I liked the most about that, it was it gave us a chance to kind of see and learn some of these different characters, how they're going to interact. And we got a sense of some of the relationships and friendships and whatnot that may take place through season two.
All right. So there we go. Thank you guys for listening to the Kolok podcast known as Back at the Start. Man, that was just the beginning. You know, we're still a little rough around the edges, so bear with us. We're going to definitely be trucking it through, getting it better. Every time we drop a new episode, we're going to just get better and better and do everything we can. Give you guys the deep dive into Kolok 1991. Outside of this will be deleted, because trust me, this will be deleted the next day. You got to watch it. It starts at 4 o'clock Tuesdays Pacific time. Check it out. And we have a Twitter. We have a Twitter account. At Kolok Pod. Back at the Start Twitter account. We're going to be posting anything and everything related to Kolok 1991. I'll be posting my reaction videos to the account. So you get to see how I feel, how I see this show real time. It's wonderful. Just, oh my goodness. And then also, don't forget to catch Kolok 1991, Kids on Bike, 10 Candles, and maybe Teaser Space on Hyper RPG's YouTube channel/HyperRPG. Check it out. That's where you can get caught up 100%. It may seem like a lot, but I hear from a lot of people, if you put it at maybe 1.25 speed or 1.5 speed, you might be able to catch up within a few weeks in a month. If not, don't be afraid to just jump in at the beginning of season 2, which once again is happening this Monday, 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific, on HyperRPG's Twitch channel, twitch.tv/HyperRPG. Check it out. Enjoy. You would not be disappointed. And it is our pleasure to give you guys content. This is us fans. We are fans of the show, getting around, basically just talking about what we love. And we appreciate you guys listening to it and whatnot. So,
yeah, be sure to let us know what you guys think of Kolok 1991 at our podcast Twitter feed. We'd love to hear from you guys as well.
All right. And without further ado, we're back at the start.
We begin again with part 2 of our podcast. I'm Techie Kara, and coming up is a short interview with one of the guest cast members of Kolok 1991. We were hoping to have a second interview with one of the main cast members for season 2. However, the weekend we were recording this was just before the season 2 premiere, and understandably the cast were very busy with prep work for the show. However, we very much hope to have them on the podcast soon. So without further ado, I'll hand you over to Sapoin and myself, interviewing our guest for today. Enjoy.
Hi, so we've got Sapoin here with Techie and our own lovely, lovely Brandon Winfrey, also known to you all as Mike Hunt.
Yeah, hey guys.
How are you doing today, Brandon?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm excited to be on. This is rad.
Thank you. We're just sort of seeing what happens. We love the show and we love having you show up and bring some color into the world.
Well, thank you. Hopefully it's not a very, very dark gray. Hopefully it'll be something. What do I want? Oh, you know what? Robin Eggs Blue. That's what I want to put out into the world. That's a good color.
That is a very good color. So, what are you most excited about going into Kolok Season 2?
Oh, man. So many things. I just love... Okay, so... position that Tibby is in, for me, that just as a viewer, is fascinating. Because he, you know, he has knowledge that people don't have. And when you're in a situation where you kind of understand what people are capable of, but they haven't done it yet, I just think that's like such an insight, like fly on the wall, and it's almost like an invasion of privacy in a weird way. It's so that aspect that Tibby is dealing with is super interesting, and I'm excited to see how that translates throughout the season, because some stuff happens, as you guys know, like a lot of things, and we kind of saw what lengths people were willing to go to. So to have that in your mind and know that your friends are capable of that, but they haven't done it yet. Like, it's a Minority Report site situation, right? Essentially.
Where, yeah, like the precogs, the whole, did they do it? Did they not do it? Would they still do it?
Yeah, I think that is going to be very interesting for me. And just to see how everything expands. I'm excited about the new cast members. The old cast was amazing, but these new cast as well, they're gonna crush it. As I was telling you guys earlier, like Mika, as soon as she was done with that first guest episode, she was already doing journal stuff, you know, and filling that out. And Aubrey is amazing. I've done some RPGs with Aubrey outside of filming. And she's so quick-witted and smart and just brings such an awesome level. And of course, Matt's hilarious, and I think will be like a really good balance to the group as well. So that group I'm really excited about as well.
Okay, that's great. I was wondering, like, how familiar, like, obviously you've been a guest at Hyper, and like you're part of the Gridlock Dawn crew, and like you've been like around Hyper for, I mean, at least on screen over half a year now, off screen probably about a year. How familiar were you with like Kolok and like the Phobos saga before you actually guessed as Mike? And like, what have you like gone back and caught up now that you have you now like become a viewer as well as a cast member? Or
yeah, absolutely. So I believe Kolok premiered the same week as Grimdark Dawn did. And around that time, which I still do, I like at night, I'll usually have Hyper on just because it's good to have on in the background that I want to support, obviously. So I watched I was watching Kolok at the very beginning, and was immediately like, oh dang, like immediately my expectations for Grimdark Dawn like shot up, because I was like, oh, I have to like, it's like go time. Like these guys are serious about it. So in a way it was, that those even first few episodes were really inspiring for me. And yeah, I remember specifically when they did the council episode, I was like, I saw it happen and I was like, oh man, I would have loved to be a part of that. That's because at that point I was super into the story and the world that had been built. And I was like, oh man, I wish I was in that, that council episode. And I realized, oh, I just missed a message from Zach about being in it. And I was like, oh no, my chance is ruined. I'll never be in Kolok. And thankfully it wrapped around to where, you know, I got to be Mike, which has been fun in itself. But yeah, no, I'm a fan. I'm a viewer as well. It's kind of what I said, is I never really had, honestly, the only TTRPGs I watched before this was The Adventure Zone, before I was like into Hyper stuff. So it's just been fascinating for me over the past 6 months as well to be introduced to this world and understand it. And I really think that's helped me in my creative areas as well, always trying to change and tweak. Like that's something I really respect about Zach, is every week he's trying to improve and try to change the show and make it grow. And I think that's extremely admirable and something that is not easy with live production. And I want to adopt that as well, to always think about, okay, how did we do this week? How can we better tell this story? What can we add as an element to really get people excited? So that's been something I've loved seeing grow and change as well. I think that answered the question. Or maybe I just rambled. I don't remember.
Oh, no. I mean, you're absolutely right. It's watching him tell a story and up himself. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah, I think it counts. Yeah.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. So, and watching him try to top that every week is just, it's impressive.
Yeah, and I think the other angle is if you have a creative vision, one of the other kind of hard things is to get everyone you're working with aligned in a creative vision and move towards that with you. And I think they've done a great job. Like, that whole team is so committed in Kolok and understanding the mystery of the world. So that's also admirable as well. Yeah, so that's been my experience with it. And obviously I did Kids in Space, which was a lot of fun. And yeah, we'll see. We'll see what the future holds.
Oh, definitely. Do you expect that you'll occasionally pop up in season two?
Yeah, I assume. Like, for me, it's very much if Mike is a part of the story that Zach wants to tell, I'm sure he'll pop up. Like, that's where my vibe is. It's like, oh, will this help you, Zach? Cool. Then let's do it. Let's be a part of it. So I hope, because I mean I love doing it. I love doing all hyper shows, though. It's role playing for me is just, because I went to school for theater and film, and it really combines those two things. And I wish I had found it sooner in my life, because I didn't start playing D&D till I was like 22. And even then, I only played D&D, and I've now fallen in love with these storytelling systems that I think are even more conducive to storytelling, stuff like Kids on Bikes. So yeah.
And do you have any thoughts on like where you would like to see Mike go in season two? Like if you had a say, I mean, obviously anything could happen week to week with Zach if he's in charge of your NPC. But
yeah,
is there anything in particular you would like to see happen with Mike?
Yeah, I would love him to just have a food allergy and him not be able to use his EpiPen and then just die. Like, I think that'd be pretty rad. So it's interesting because immediately so much is built off of just like the simple paragraph I got about Mike, where it's like, okay, your name is Mike Hunt, and that sets off so many possibilities for you as someone who is role playing a character. And it's been interesting to explore because there are events that happened last season that are now kind of, you know, that have not happened. So thinking about it that way is interesting because where does he go from there? Because on a very basic level, like, I honestly think most human stories are about loneliness. And this kind of ties into Kolok really well because, especially in our formative years, like 16 to 18, although to be honest, I think we go through phases of formative years. Like, I'm in my late 20s and I feel like I'm going through another complete shift. But especially when you're a teenager, like, everybody has been a teenager. So we all understand that feeling. And I think it is, you are trying to understand the world around you while you're also trying to understand yourself. And what Kolok does well is it just heightens those. So you're trying to understand this entire mystery of what is happening in this town. And not only are you trying to understand yourself, you're trying to understand what has happened to you with these powers. So yeah, there are things I would like Mike to explore. I do think Mike is lonely, but it's kind of like when I was a kid where I didn't have a really good base of friends until I was like 16 or so. But I go back and forth on this a lot. Sorry, I'm rambling, but like, I go back and forth on this a lot because when you're a kid and you don't really understand the concept of loneliness and you're just kind of doing your own thing and having fun with it, like, Mike loves what he does. Like, Mike, he reads books and stuff because he really enjoys it. And I think it forms some semblance of control, if that makes sense. Like, to Mike, To Mike, being an adult means being in control. And for his life feels very out of his control because he's been moving a lot and he's like a new kid in town. And he constantly feels like nothing is, he doesn't have anything. So that's why he does all this stuff. That's why he like reads all these books or tries to elevate himself, because he just, you know, he has some, it's not true, but he thinks adulthood is just being fancy and smart because that's kind of what he's read. And that's the very basic idea of it. So he's trying to, so the reason he does all this stuff is because he's trying to have control, which he doesn't have at all. So I think exploring that in season two would be really interesting, where he learns that that's not what being an adult is. And also the idea that no one knows what being an adult is, but you can still, control isn't the most stable thing in the world, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, and also just to have some friends, I think, would be nice, which we saw that he built to that. But yeah, it's interesting. But like after the events with Lexi, it's like there's a reason Mike is pretty into Lexi, and I think it's because after what happened, he felt needed for the first time, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. Like I can see see that.
Yeah, and I think when you're, well, for everyone, when you're a kid, it's like there's, you chase that feeling. You chase that feeling of wanting to be needed or loved. And I think especially as a kid, you're very non-immune to that, if that makes sense, where you are going to follow that path. Like you are just chasing, instead of chasing, not even necessarily, you don't even know if you necessarily even like the person, but you know you like the feeling. And I think
absolutely,
that messes you up, I think, because you can't understand, you can't, like, it takes time, and it takes a long time to really understand the difference between, oh, I legitimately care about this person versus I just want to feel that because it makes me feel good and I've never felt that before. Anyways, I think all that stuff is really interesting for Mike, just as a person. But yeah, just at the very basic level, just getting some friends would be cool to explore. But yeah, I don't know if that makes sense. Sorry, when I love character stuff, so just like digging in and rambling about
all
that. Absolutely.
It's wonderful to hear that sort of perspective. Because we all see Mike week to week. You have him sort of living in your head.
Yeah. And I think that's, but it's one of those things where it's like why you do the homework. You do the homework because when you're at the table, you can kind of let it go, if that makes sense. And it's not stuff that you should, like, I don't want that stuff to be, whenever I role play or anything like that, I don't necessarily want any of that stuff to be at the forefront, if that makes sense. Like, it should just barely come out each time and like eke out. So then people can, because that's, you don't, like, we don't go on long monologues about that stuff in normal life anyways. It comes out in your actions and the small things you say. So it's that's always fun to play with. Yeah, and more Faulkner references I would love. I just need to also, he needs to expand. I do want Mike to enjoy, maybe Hemingway will be a part of it for sure. But yeah, other than that, I'm just excited to see what they do because they're yeah, I just love the setting and the idea of people finding themselves out. That's powerful. So yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming in. And, you know, we love having you here and we love hearing you talk all about this character that you've built, that you've, you know, created for us to see week to week. And it's so great that you're willing to come on, interact with us, and hang out in Discord.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I think the thing that makes Kolok most unique is you guys, is all of you, because there is the basic level of you're creating characters that, like, my character was created in the Discord and stuff like that. So it's, I think, it's amazing to see what you guys do, and your passion fuels everyone else. It fuels all of the cast, all of the team behind it. So I just want to say a thank you guys from week to week. I know they really appreciate it. And it's great to see stuff like this. Like you guys are crushing it on your end so much as well.
Well, I mean, it's great for you to have joined us, and like, I mean, we watch because we enjoy it. And at the end of the day, like we wouldn't enjoy it if it wasn't the cast members like you and everyone else at Hyper that was doing amazing things with their characters. So thank you for coming on. And we hope to have you back maybe another time for a bit longer interview, because obviously, like this week, as we've come out with this first episode, we've kind of already had a bit of a bigger discussion about why you should watch Kolok and stuff like that. So we thought maybe just having smaller interviews at the end was a good thing. But then we'd love to have you back for like a bit more expansive talk about Mike later on down the line, if you'd be up for it.
Absolutely, anytime. Just let me know.
Well, thank you again. And I've been Techie, and we've had Sep, and thank you, Brandon, for coming on. And if this is the last interview that we have on here today, we may have one more, but we're not 100% sure yet. But we've been back at the start, and you'll hear us again soon. Thank you for listening to Back at the Start, a fan discussion podcast for the tabletop live play show Kolok 1991 on HyperRPG. Your hosts for today were Erinin SC, Sapoin, Guy SCA, Kid Anon, Logan Pars, and Techie Kara. This podcast was edited by Techie Kara and recorded on the 23rd and 24th of August 2019. Special thanks to Ray Wise for the introduction and outro soundbite, and to Zach Lim Eubank for giving permission for us to use it. Kolok 1991 is streamed live every Monday at 6 PM Pacific Time on twitch.tv/hyperRPG, and is available on demand via Twitch and YouTube. It is also available in podcast form. Just search for Kolok 1991 on your favorite podcasting platform. You can follow us at Kolok Pod on Twitter for updates and to interact with the show. You can also email us at backatstartpod@gmail.com. Thank you again for listening, and
you found yourself back at the start.